We are continuing our study in the book of Exodus. Last week, we saw how God accomplished a great miracle in dividing the Red Sea, in allowing the Jewish people to go through on dry land, yet turning around behind them as the Egyptian army came pouring into that gap in the Red Sea, that he let the walls of water come crashing down on them, so that not a one was left of the mighty Egyptian army, of their elite troops, of their elite chariots, of their soldiers, anybody. All dead. God had brought this upon them. And here they were, standing on the shore, on the proper side of the shore of the Red Sea, looking back at the waters just calmly lapping on the shore with no sign of the Egyptian army. So in Exodus chapter 15, starting in verse 1, "And Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he was highly exalted. The horse and its rider he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior, and the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone." Describing what God just did. It seemed like no trouble at all to God to eradicate, to exterminate this army. Verse 2, Moses is recognizing that not only is this his own God, but his father's God. That this is the same God who proved himself strong in the life of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, with the great deeds of old. The things that God had done, even going all the way back to the foundation of the world. And he accomplished these great miracles all throughout. And now in the history of the Jewish people, now he accomplished this great miracle with the eradication of the whole Egyptian army. In times of strife, in times of trouble, in times of great upheaval in our lives, it's very helpful to go back and remember the God whom we are dealing with, the God who has pledged his support to us, is the same God who has accomplished all these things. That it's not, it's God, our God was not born 20 years ago and is just learning the ropes. God has created the world out of nothing, and he's accomplished all these great things in the life, the history of our world, raising up nations, tearing down others. The same God who really lives inside of us in the person of his Spirit. Verse 6, "Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff." You know, in our world, we look around and I know I get frustrated. I say we generically, but I know I get frustrated because it seems like people are willing to try almost everything except righteousness. People are willing to follow almost everything but God's plan. People are willing to give credit to almost anything but God. We say to ourselves, "Wow, God, you there? You awake? You watching this?" And he is. And he knows. And he's accomplishing his plan. It's all working out according to prophecy, according to what Yeshua said was going to happen. That God is able to bring an end to his enemies immediately, instantly. If the death of the firstborn wasn't enough to convince you, then this incident at the Red Sea ought to have convinced you that he is powerful enough to handle any situation that we would bring before him. He made the world. He could unmake it just as easily. You remember the flood of Noah. He brought that upon the world. He could bring something else upon the world anytime he wants. Verse 8, at the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. And then we sang this morning. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Mi kamocha Adonai. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness. Awesome in praises. Working wonders. You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembling gripped them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm they are motionless as stone. Until your people pass over, O Lord. Until the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. We saw that in Joshua chapter 2, didn't we? That was the report of Rahab. She said this was true. As soon as they heard about this destruction of the Egyptian army, their hearts melted inside them. They were scared, they were terrified, they were petrified. All the Jews had to do was march into the land and say, boo. And they would have been gone. But instead, as we saw in our Torah reading from Numbers chapter 14, they doubted. They doubted. They saw the circumstances instead of seeing God. And they forgot what God had done. And so they got scared. They got scared. Verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. For the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. All the things that the celebration that they had done at this great and wonderful thing that God had done for them, unfortunately didn't last. I mean, they forgot very soon after this and started doubting once again. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Destroyed the whole Egyptian army. As soon as they got thirsty or hungry, oh, let's go back to Egypt. Typical. Just typical. I wanted to focus on this verse that we sang also, where it talks about who is like thee among the gods, O Lord, in verse 11. Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. All the things that God has done in history. I mean, this dividing of the Red Sea, this happened in the time of Moses. Then the Jordan River was divided at least twice. I think it was only twice. I don't want to go any further out on a limb, but in Joshua chapter 3, that's when he divided the Jordan River so that the Jewish people could march on into the center of the land of Canaan. And then Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, when it's time for him to leave the chariots of God, he just casually, like it was nothing at all, just took his cloak and slapped the river and it divided. And he walked on through. We have the very walls of Jericho. In our Haftorah reading this morning, from Joshua chapter 2, talks about the walls of Jericho. Jericho was tough stuff in those days. I mean, in our day we think walled city, what's the big deal? Because in our day we've got helicopters, we've got tanks, we've got explosives. But in their day, when you had a wall, you were set. I mean, their arrows were even very primitive. They didn't even have the crossbows that they had in the Middle Ages. They didn't have any catapults or onagers or anything else that the Romans had come up with, and the Greeks. So really, they just had swords and very primitive arrows, maybe javelins. So that once you're in a walled city, you can just sit on your walls and go, nah, 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 for as long as you want it. So God took the walls down from Jericho. We all know the story. We don't have to turn there and read it. They just walked around it 7 times, blew the shofar, and then the wall just came down. Just came down. Like somebody taking down a sandcastle. Right? Like a tide coming in and taking down a sandcastle, or knocking down a pile of blocks that a child puts up. God just took it down. We have the story of Gideon in Judges, when God took a little band of a few hundred men and defeated a mighty army. Made them all run scared into the night, shedding their arms and everything else and armor, screaming like little children as they ran to get out of there. We have really you can pick practically anything from the life of Yeshua. I mean, they were just as significant and unexplainable and powerful a miracle as the dividing of the Red Sea, but on a smaller scale, on a personal, intimate scale. We had God dividing the Red Sea. In the time of Moses, we had Yeshua walking on the Sea of Galilee, strolling across it. And if that weren't significant enough, he invited others to walk out there with him, Peter to walk out and join him on the water in Matthew 14. We have going forward the Pentecost, Shavuot, the birth of the community of believers, the moving of the Spirit among them in ways that he had never moved before. We had all these Am Ha'aretz, the common people, getting out and preaching messages to the people of their day that were so sublime and wonderful that we're even reading and studying them today. That their words pierced these people through the heart, that just 50 days earlier they had been screaming for the crucifixion of Yeshua, and now they were falling to their knees, receiving him as Messiah. We have Paul's conversion, where we have him, the great enemy of the people of God, going from house to house, dragging believers off, throwing them in jail, sometimes stoning them to death. And he has an encounter with God. And now he's not only a follower of the Lord, but yet you look at the whole Mediterranean area, and you look at all the areas that were reached, and who did most of the reaching, it was Paul. Who did most of the writing of the New Covenant, it was Paul. God was able to speak through him and through his rabbinic training, that he was able to express very complicated ideas in ways that were very understandable even now down until today. And even from Paul's day forward, it didn't end with him. The whole tapestry of the history of the community of those who follow God is filled with unexplainable events, unexplainable really from the human standpoint, even to the fact that 2,000 years later, here we are, thousands of miles away from the place where the events occurred, speaking in a language that hadn't even been invented when Yeshua walked the earth, talking about all the wonderful things that He did, even reaching into our own lives. I mean, in my particular life, if you were to have a scorecard, you know, one of these questionnaires that you see, who's likely to live to be a long life, and who's likely to, you know, whatever, be in jail, or who's likely to be an axe murderer, or whatever. If you were to have one of these questionnaires, who's likeliest to be a believer, and handling it to me, I would have flunked, hands down. Because I was one sorry dude. In some sense, I was following in Paul's footsteps, because when I was with a group of believers and they tried talking to me about the Lord, not only was I not convinced, when I was done with them, they weren't sure that they were convinced anymore either. Because I could take them around the block and back again with all these spurious arguments and all the rest. But yet, God still found a way to lob a bomb over my wall, and it blew up securely in the middle of my courtyard, which turned out to be a good thing, because just like the walls of Jericho, they were keeping the good out rather than keeping the, and also keeping the bad in. So once he reached me, he managed to put me in a place where I could hear what he was saying to me. In my case, it was the hospital, to put me there and put me in a place where I would listen. And there he spoke to me in very clear terms as to who I was and what all my righteousness really was and what my destiny was if I were not to receive Yeshua. And so it was there that I finally understood. I gained perspective. I came to receive Yeshua as my Redeemer, which was indeed a great miracle. Because before I went in to that hospital, I was not a good candidate, but yet when I came out, I was a believer. There's another man that I used to know who's a good friend of mine, that he was of that same ilk. He was somebody who was a scoffer. He was somebody who had no use for God. I tended to circulate among these people who thought of themselves as being very smart, you know, at the university and whatnot. He was one of them. And he had all of his reasons and whatnot. And he went on a date with one of our relatives that turned out to be a believer. Well, we knew was a believer. And we kind of cautioned them. We weren't sure that was a good idea. But they went on a date. And after the date, they sat talking. And I don't recommend this for believer and unbeliever to date, but she spent the latter part of the evening witnessing to him, and he blew it all off and said goodbye and just could not get out of his head what she said to him. And very soon thereafter, he himself turned over his life to the Messiah. And that was as great a miracle, because there was no earthly reason why he should have done that. There was no explanation for that. And it all comes back to who is like you among the gods, O Lord. There are many different gods that men follow in our world today. It's almost like a God of the Month club. You can look at all these different religions and all these different things. Even perversions of the God of the Bible. The things that people say about God without having anything to do about anything, knowing anything about Scripture. Sort of like that prototypical story of the three blind men and the elephant. I don't know if you've ever heard that. You have a room with three blind men in it, and each one is asked to describe what an elephant is, and one of them describes, well, it's like a snake. It's thick, and it's long, and it curls, it's flexible, looking at the elephant's trunk. Another one would say that an elephant is like a tree. It's round, and it's like a stump, and it's rough like bark, describing the elephant's leg. And another one is saying that, well, the elephant's really thin, like a rope with a brush on the end describing the elephant's tail. And no one really describing what an elephant really is. Too many people are like describing God like that. All they're dealing with are these little snippets of stories that they've heard when they were growing up. That's even getting rarer and rarer, that people even have any idea who Samson was or David was, or even who Judas was or who Yeshua himself was and what he did. They may have seen a movie once, a movie that distorted and did all sorts of crazy stuff. So instead, they make up things about God rather than being a God that's rooted in truth. Sort of like, I don't know if you've ever... You're going to meet somebody, you know, particularly if you're going to go on a date with someone that you've never met. You start fantasizing about what that person was like, and when you finally meet that person, they're far different than anything you imagined. That's what people do with God. They fantasize things about God. They imagine who he might be. They remake him in their own image. What they're really doing is creating a little plastic God, a pet God. A God that will do exactly what they want. A God that will be the kind of person that they want a God to be. Kind of like a doting, permissive kind of grandparent kind of person that just kind of lets them do what they want and smiles stupidly at no matter what they do. But that's not the real God. Then you got people who have other kinds of gods all around the world. You've got the Muslim God and the Buddhist God. You've got the Hindu gods. You've got other pagan gods of different tribes and whatnot. And they claim to be God. They claim to have done great things. But yet, you look at the stories of what that God is supposed to have done, and they just don't stand up to scrutiny. It just doesn't have any historical basis in what that God has done or is. But you look at our God, and our God truly has done wonderful things. And it's not just the imaginations, it's not just fairy tales, it's not just things that people thought would be kind of cool for God to do. But rather, you look through history, and you realize that all these things are true. Who is like you, O Lord? There's no other stories told of any of the God doing any of this stuff that you can verify, that you can go back and see. I mean, the Muslim God is kind of, that's kind of a strange thing, because that God stands on the shoulders of the true God of the Bible, but yet isn't really the true God of the Bible, because it kind of goes off in different directions. But other gods, you look at what these other gods have supposed to have done, and usually they're just these very fanciful stories that you read, and they really are fanciful. They're things that don't really hold water, like the ancient Greeks who talked about the world being born out of the body of gods and things like that. It's like, no, that's not credible. Then you look at the God of the Bible and parting the Red Sea, and you look at the reactions of the people, and you look at all the facts involved, and you understand just how everything all clicks together to point to the truth of what had happened. You look at Yeshua's life and really the repercussions from his life, and you understand that uncomfortable ring of truth, the eyewitness accounts, the fact that as you read these things, you realize that the people themselves, at the time they were doing it, they were just as awestruck as we are on reading it, and just as amazed, and just at a loss for explanation. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord, that in a daily struggle we can forget whom it is we serve? We can get really tied up. We can get pinned down, you could say, in military parlance, that we are afraid to move because of all the gunfire all around us, that we are just stuck there. And we tend to forget that we might be pinned down in this little tiny pocket of this greater war, but really the war is being won. In fact, the war has been won. And that the forces that God brings to bear is absolutely overwhelming. And those overwhelming forces are available to us. Just like the Jewish people didn't understand how God was going to get them into Canaan. And unfortunately, they made the wrong choice. And they decided to disbelieve God and to despair. So too, there's some things going on in our lives. We have no idea how God's going to solve it. We just have no idea how it's going to work out. We just know that it will. That God has His plan and He has His purpose. And nothing that's going on is outside of His plan or outside of His will. And He's working all together for His glory. And that we should never fear. We should never despair. We should never give up and say, oh, I'm sorry I ever became a believer. Because look at how tough things have gotten. God forbid that anybody should ever say anything like that. Because we think fondly back, just like they did, upon the time spent in Egypt, but really it was a miserable existence. And so too our time before becoming believers. We're absolutely miserable. Nobody wants to go back there. Instead, go forward, exalting in God, remembering that we serve a wonderful God, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders on the big scale and on the little scale every day, billions of times all across the world. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, I thank You that You have preserved for us the accounts of all the wonderful things that You have done, that no matter how bleak things look, that You're still on the job, that it's all working together for good to those of us who are dedicated to You. Continue to encourage us to open up our eyes that we might remember all the great and wonderful things that You have done in our lives, in the history of our world, so that we might never be discouraged, but always be energized to move forward in the power of Your Spirit, to be the people we need to be, and to glorify the name of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.